today on Real Radio.
When things do not go so great, I begin to cry out to God. And if I don't get an immediate response, I know you're not like this. But when I don't get an immediate response, I say, God, where are you? Well, he's here. He's always here. Well, then why do I feel the way I do? Has God abandoned you? No. He says, lo, I am with you always.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Where's God When You Need Him?, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. A lot of years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. Now, Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Having a Good Argument from Acts chapter 23, Paul finds himself once again in front of the Jewish council. This time, however, he's giving a defense for the gospel, but his testimony of all he experienced of forgiveness and freedom was viewed as arrogance and pride. Still, Paul's conscience was clear that he was doing the Lord's will. And that was all in spite of the religious leaders' anger towards him. Now, in verses 12 through 35 of chapter 23, we'll see that when God is at work, we are often aware of his presence the least. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God is always with us, even when we feel abandoned. We all go through times of spiritual dryness, and there are those who will conspire against us because of our faith in Christ. Still, no matter what happens to us here on earth, it doesn't mean God doesn't care, but it means he's working in us the most. And now, in his lesson called Where's God When You Need Him?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Good morning, and why don't you grab your Bible to Acts chapter 23. And we'll complete this chapter this morning by the grace of God. We're going to begin our reading where we left off last time. We're going to be in verse 12 down to verse 35, Acts chapter 23. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of your neighbors next to you. And let's read it together. If you're new to Calvary, we'd love to study the Bible. If you're looking, you know, for us to have a production, skits and plays, we don't do that here. We're not disparaging that. We just don't do that here. We study the Bible. And we hope for the next 45 minutes you put your thinking cap on as we look into God's Word this morning. Interesting chapter and context this morning, verse 12. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and the elders, and they said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will neither eat until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that we be brought down, or that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions and said to him, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, "Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you." Then the commander took him by the hand and went aside and asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring down Paul to the council tomorrow." And as though they were going to inquire more fully about him, but do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him. Men who have bound themselves to an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they've killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, telling no one that you should reveal this to, or that you have revealed this to me. And verse 23 says, "And he called two centurions, saying, 'Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts or a horseback to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor.' And he wrote a letter in the following manner. Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason why they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had done nothing charged against him worthy of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you, and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipyris. And the next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. And when they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you when your accusers have also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium or palace. G. Campbell Morgan tells us that regarding the book of Acts, the book that you have open in your lap this morning, that it really should be entitled The Book of Acts Concerning the Holy Spirit Through the Lives of the Believers in the World Today. Should be the title. The book of Acts covers God's working through believers and then eventually the church. And of course, we're seeing this in Paul's life. And the Bible tells us that these are for our example, that we are reading the Bible to learn how we ought to be as a church and as a people. But it's interesting that this portion of the Bible, scholars tell us, it's hard to teach on. We covered quite a few verses this morning. There's no mention of God. There's no great message preached. There's no conversions. There's no healings. It's just a narrative. And it's seemingly vacant of God's presence. Paul's arrested. He's in prison. He's being kept. There's people out to kill him. There's a letter written. And he's taken captive, so to speak, and led on his way to his next hearing. No mention of God. God seems to be vacant. But I want to argue with you this morning that God is very present in the study. It all depends on how you look at it this morning. The Bible says of itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture, that includes the part we're studying this morning, was given by God. It's inspired by God, and it is profitable for doctrine. So we're going to look at this study that way. I saw a little bumper sticker, maybe you have too, that says, I found God. Or I found it. You ever seen that sticker? I found it. That is a Christian sticker. It's referring to God. I found God is what it means. And a little boy, I understand, said, Mommy, that sticker says I found God. And the little guy looks at his mom and says, I didn't know God was lost. Well, God's not lost. We find God in our search in life. God is always present. He's always in the midst of us. And even in this chapter where God seems to be vacant, he's very much present. And we're going to be looking this morning at a message that's entitled, Where's God When You Need Him? Have you ever felt like that? Where's God when you need him? Now, I never ask that question when things are going smooth and great in my life. My goodness, you know, when things are going great, obviously God's present, right? I mean, things are great. But when things do not go so great, I begin to cry out to God. And if I don't get an immediate response, I know you're not like this. But when I don't get an immediate response, I say, God, where are you? Well, he's here. He's always here. Well, then why do I feel the way I do? You may have come into the sanctuary this morning and you feel very dry. You believe in God. You're born again. You're going to heaven. But you feel kind of dead. You feel kind of like you've been abandoned. Well, first of all, I want to tell you right now, I feel like that a lot of the time. Jack, you shouldn't confess things like that. We're coming to you as a pastor to teach us and have God speak through you, you know? Well, I understand that, and that's part of the reason why I love to study the Bible, because I don't always feel very much, what is it, saved? I don't always feel very much like waking up in the morning, and, you know, I don't have goosebumps in my back when I wake up, and the sunbeam never comes into my room and shines on my face when I'm waking up. It's usually, you know, the dog comes and sits on my face and wakes me up or something like that. But when you get into the Bible, God begins to stir up your heart. But there's times, listen, when you're studying the Bible, and even then your heart doesn't get pumped. There's times of dryness that we go through. Has God abandoned you? No. He says, lo, I am with you always. The word lo means, behold, I'm with you always. But I like the old King James, lo, I am with you always. When do I need that verse? When I'm low. Low, yes. Hey, I'm with you always. He's made that promise. So where's God when you need him? He's right here. He's always here. He's always near. I love that about the Lord. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4, and it certainly applies to this study this morning. Paul says in Romans that whatever things were written before time, before our time, it's not before time began, before your time and my time. Whatever things were written in the Bible before you and I showed up on the scene were written for our learning. We need to understand that the Bible is going to teach us this morning. And this whole chapter is dedicated, or this text anyway, is dedicated to the providence of God. You ever heard that term, providence of God? If you've read Lincoln's second inaugural address, I've had the opportunity to stand in Washington at the memorial. And as you're looking at Lincoln sitting there, you turn to the right and there's his second inaugural address. And he speaks constantly about the providence of God. Well, what is providence? And what is the providence of God? First of all, Webster's dictionary defines providence in three ways, or four ways. Listen to this. Care and preparation in advance with foresight. Care and preparation in advance with foresight. Providence. Number two is prudent management. Well, that's what I want God to do in my life. I want him to exercise, please God, prudent management in my life. The third thing is the care and guardianship and control exercised by God toward his creation. Well, that's comforting to hear. Here's number four. I like it the most. Providence. God. Providence is God's watching over us invisibly. We don't see him. It's been said that providential care is the unseen intervention of God in the affairs of men. We've all had that happen in our lives. Let me say this, theologically correct. You know it experientially in life, that God is watching over you. You don't have to be a believer this morning to understand that that is true. God in his providential care is taking care of you. Now, we need to settle this before we go any further. How many of you are parents? Raise your hands. A lot of you. There are things that you do with your child, with your children, that if you were to interview them and ask them, what's happening right now? Can you imagine what they would be saying? This week, I can say this, they're not here yet. They're still getting ready. Both my girls got grounded this week. They got a little liberal with their mouth. And so they were grounded. And I'm certain that if you'd have walked in there and said, what's the problem? It would be my parents have slipped a gear. They've missed it. They're out of control. They don't understand me. I've got all the answers, and they don't know anything, and they won't listen to my depth of wisdom and my insights as a 13-year-old and as a 10-year-old. They really need to. Hey, don't ask the child. You're the parent. God has ordained you as the parent, and you are to lead them toward God and toward a decent citizenship in the world. And it takes instruction, and molding and shaping is never easy. And don't think for a moment that God is going to deal with you differently. You are his child. What does he do? Sometimes he grounds you. Sometimes he disciplines us. What do we say? Oh, God, he just doesn't know what he's doing. If he would only consult me, I would tell him how he ought to do it. No, you don't listen to the child. God is ordained of himself. He's created us. His providential care is at work in our lives. And even if you're going through something that you could say today is negative and seems to be a bummer, and God doesn't seem to be near, let me tell you right now, he is very near. He's very in the bummer, and God has brought that bummer into your life. Does this mean I can't divorce him, Jack? That's right. Can I quit? No, hang in there. God is working. Dude, it's such a bummer. He's working. His providential care is working in your life. And there are times as Christians that we just feel like shutting down and giving up. But listen, I want you to be encouraged. In verses 12 to 15, be encouraged. The world will always attack you. Oh boy. Verse 12. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they will neither eat or drink till they kill Paul. Now there were more than 40 of them who'd formed this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priest and the elders, and they said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath." You ought to underline "great oath." This is, you know, there's a lot of humor in this as this comes about here. "We're not going to eat anything until we've killed Paul. Now you, therefore, gather the council together and suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to inquire of him more fully, but we're going to kill him. We're ready to kill him. The world will always attack you if you're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ." Listen, this is the no meal kind of a deal. "We're not going to eat until we've killed Paul." Isn't that how the world reacts? Something happens. God is at work. That's it. Some people step in. Right here in the Bible, it's 40 guys. A little bit more than 40, it says. 40 guys. We've made a vow. We've made an oath to God. Boy, this is great. God says, "You better not make any oath to me, because you don't have the power to keep it." Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Don't ever say, you guys, "Oh, I swear I'm telling the truth." Don't do that. The Bible commands us not to make an oath. "Oh, I swear on a stack of Bibles." Don't do that. Don't do that. This is, by the way, this is the true meaning to taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not, certainly it is cussing. You should never do that. You should never ask God to damn this or damn the other thing. And you should never call upon the name of Jesus Christ in a derogatory way. Certainly that is taking the Lord's name in vain. But to take the Lord's name in vain clearly is binding God to an oath. "I swear to God," people say. Don't ever say that. The Bible says that we're going to have to give an account to the Lord for every idle word that we speak. And that's one that is serious. We need to be careful how the word or the name or the title of God comes off of our lips. But the world will always attack us. And the world is always radical and fanatical. Have you noticed? And it's getting worse, isn't it? Mention Jesus. Last night in the Christmas program here, I'm sitting there enjoying this. The kids are talking about Jesus and he died and Santa needs Jesus too. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, "Isn't it great to be doing something that's radical?" And she goes, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "What those kids just said in public school is illegal. They can get in trouble for that. In America, I thank God. I go to Russia. I've been to Russia a lot. And the freedom that's in Russia. They want you to mention Jesus everywhere. Come to America and you can get arrested. The world will act fanatical and radical. That's what these guys are doing. "We've bound ourselves with an oath, man. We're not going to eat or drink until Paul's dead." Well, what they didn't know is providential care was at work. No deal, no meal. Kill them. Well, these guys are going to get hungry. The word "banded" here means to twist together like a rope or a snake. I like that. They've banded together. They've become intertwined. You know, people get rallied around. They may be enemies 364 days out of the year, but come Christmas or come Easter, the world that can't stand itself and each other will band together to protest what God wants to do or what God is. They've twisted themselves together. They're bound up. Boy, they're tight. And the word "bound" here in the Greek is the word that we get anathema from. It means to obligate God to a curse, to place yourself under the penalty of a curse before God. The word anathema means to condemn yourself or to have a death wish. Isn't that amazing? These guys are radical fanatical. "We will not eat until Paul's dead. And we've made an oath before God. And we're holding God to it that he'll slay us if we don't kill Paul." Isn't that something? That's radical. The world will always be like that. It's interesting to me that the world is blind today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who are in the world so that they cannot believe the glorious gospel. They can't understand it. They can't see it. These guys can't see the truth of what's happening here. And the world will come against you. They think you're a wacko because you have hope and peace in your life. You're trusting in the Lord. You want to get somebody upset? The guys at work, the neighbors next door, they're going bonkers because something's happening. Just say, well, the Lord's going to take care of it. It drives them crazy. What do you mean? God's in control. How can you say that? He is. Well, what about the wars that are going on? What about Bosnia? God's in control. That's what happens, by the way. Bosnia, Vietnam, South Africa, Central America. What is it? Statistics tell us there's 136 wars going on daily somewhere in the world, every day. War and division and hatred and strife comes from man being in control, moving God out of the way. God is still in control. And there's a control that God exercises when he lets man be in control. You want to be in control? He says, I'll let you be in control. And your life begins to get ruined because your life was made to be under God's control. He's exercising his providential care and the world will attack you. The world will come against you. In Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, 18 and 19, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The word in the Greek is the wrath of God is being now revealed at this moment from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, that is, hold down the truth with unrighteousness. Since what may be known of God is clear to them and plain to them, because God has made it clear to the world. You know, the world out there knows enough about God to pursue him, but they choose not to.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Where's God When You Need Him? Thanks for listening. And always remember that God is never more near than when we don't feel his presence. He's never more close than when we feel so far away. And he's never more at work in our lives than when it seems like he's nowhere to be found. Where's God when you need him? It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. When you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app to your smartphone or tablet, the Home tab offers what's called Real Life Media. And when you tap the Real Life Media tab, a whole new experience opens up for you. There's so much that Pastor Jack has available. Here are just a few examples of what's currently being offered. There's Real Life TV that has Pastor Jack's weekly video broadcasts. There's Engaging the Culture that answers some pretty tough questions on how to stand for righteousness in this compromising world. There's also Real Life Moments with Jack Hibbs, Real Life Basics for Christian Growth, news updates, current events, and so much more. And that includes our Real Radio daily broadcasts, like the one you're listening to right now. And just in case you missed some previous episodes, you can catch up. So be sure to add the Real Life app to your smartphone or tablet and tap on Real Life Media from our Home tab, or you can also visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.